Sunlight crests the surface of the planet Earth as rays of light shoot up from the continents. A word in gold block letters encircles the globe and slides in front of it. Universal. A web address appears. www.universalstudios.com. A gecko sits on a rock. A group of men in Arab dress are walking towards it. Sci-Fi Pictures presents Basilisk, the Serpent King. An old man leading the group of men in flowing robes and scarved heads carries a golden scepter carved with a golden serpent twisted around it. Credits appear. Jeremy London, Wendy Carter, Cleveland Derricks, Griff First. Sarah Skeeters, Stephen First, and Yancey Butler. Casting by Rob Richards, Mariana Stanisheva. The Arab elder with the scepter holds his right hand up to beware as the group approaches what at first glance appear to be statues. But on closer inspection, they are in fact people turned to stone. Two of the younger men in the group eye the human stones warily. Music by Nathan First, edited by John Quinn. Written by Will McCarthy and Chase Parker. As the elder leads the way, one of the younger men turns to another of the group.
This is madness. The union of the sun and the moon come but once in a lifetime. We should be using the eye to locate the treasure. Instead, he leads us to our doom.
But the gods have chosen each of us for this mission.
Just as they once chose these poor souls?
We will not fail. And when it's done, we shall be rewarded.
With what? You heard him. Even if we succeed, he intends to destroy the scepter and toss it into the sea. Then the treasure will remain lost forever, while we remain as peasants.
Our reward shall be much greater. The fates will see to that. It's written in the stars.
If you believe that, you're as great a fool as he is.
The moon begins to move across the face of the sun in a lunar eclipse. Directed by Louis Maiman. The elder stands in front of a pit in the ground. A caption appears, Cyrenaica, 112 AD. The other men join the elder.
Courage, my sons. And remember, even in the coming darkness, the gods will be watching over us.
As the eclipse blots out the sun, they all put on blindfolds.
Malika Sabin.
Asabin.
Malika Sabin.
Asabin.
Malika Sabin.
Asabin.
Something in the pit roars as darkness sweeps across the land. Two of the men draw their daggers. Another begins to pray. The skeptical man lowers his blindfold and looks over at the pit. A huge serpent-like creature rises up from the pit. It has a head like a crocodile and glowing red eyes. It slithers out of the pit and squirts venom from its open jaws onto the skeptical man. Then its eyes change from red to blue. And the man is turned to stone. In a panic, the other men have now taken off their blindfolds. The creature attacks one man brandishing two daggers and bites him in half in its jaws. It sprays venom over another helpless victim and also turns him to stone. One individual tries to run, and the creature swats him with its tail. It knocks another man over and crushes him to a bloody pulp like a bug. It throws another man against the cliff wall, killing him instantly. Only the Elder has kept his blindfold on. As the eclipse reaches its zenith, the stone held in the mouth of a serpent on the Elder's scepter glows blue, and the huge, snake-like creature is itself turned to stone. A sudden rockfall from the cliff buries both the stone creature and the Elder with his scepter. The moon begins to move away from the sun, and the light returns. A caption reads, Libya, present day. Men get off a truck at an archaeological dig, which is going on at the site of the ancient encounter with the creature. At their tented encampment, archaeologists are inspecting bones and other items they've recovered. One of them, a white guy in his 30s, Harry, is holding the Elder's scepter.
They called this the Eye of the Medusa. Apparently around 242 BC, this desperate king gave up all his last remaining gold so that an Assyrian alchemist could forge the scepter. And apparently this blind prophet led his tribe against this powerful forces of evil that were threatening his kingdom.
All this time, and I didn't know you were into that hokey-pokey kind of stuff.
I'm not. Which is why we have to decipher these symbols to see what they really mean.
We're all out of TP in the bathroom, by the way.
Look at these. This looks familiar. Remember that scroll we found last year?
Yeah. The one that's sitting in your office waiting for you to restore it, right?
Yeah.
The one with the mold all over
it. Yeah, same thing.
Why don't you keep the scroll and I'll take this 24-karat staff with a big fat rock on top?
Yeah, keep dreaming.
Come on, let me hold it for a second.
One of the petrified men is unearthed.
You know, I'm thinking this is either Etruscan or it's an Osama bin Laden blow-up doll.
No way. Look at this carving style. So lifelike. Etruscans weren't doing sculpture like this during this period.
She's right. Nobody was.
This material is like limestone, only more durable. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, that makes two of us.
Curly-haired Harry and his two co-workers, straw-hatted Rudy and dark-haired Sierra, see horsemen approaching.
Did you already take out?
The robed and scarved horseman gallops straight towards them.
Something tells me these guys aren't with the Chamber of Commerce.
They slow their pace as they come close to the archaeologists.
It's okay, I've dealt with this kind of situation before. It's just a matter of how you talk to them.
I didn't know you were so fluent and angry, bad ugly guy.
I'm not. She is. Sir, you're up.
Assalamu alaikum.
Antum tatakhatiyan al-khudud.
He says that we're trespassing.
Oh, no, tell him it's okay. We got the big thumbs up from his government.
Muwafaqa al-sulatat.
Al-ard masmuma. Faqat araka hana damun kasir wa sayyak unda mukuna aydan liza dam tugu tiru hazal makani kul ma tajiduhu huna.
This land is poisoned. Much blood has been spilled here. Ours will be too if we do not leave this place behind and all that we find here.
I knew it. He's here for the scepter.
Just tell him that we're from an American university and we're here on a sponsored dig. We're historians, not grave robbers.
We mean no disrespect.
Harry doesn't look like he gives a damn.
Tell him, Sierra.
Nua, mean. Once this was the land of his tribe. No man lives here now. Only a great evil. This is the dwelling place of Satan.
What?
What is it?
I don't recognize the word. If we value our lives, we will leave this place as it's been for centuries.
The hostile Libyan Bedouin and his companions ride away.
Oh, that was fun. You really charmed him right out of his turn.
What do you think, warning or threat?
Not sure. I can tell you one thing. Whatever he thinks is buried out here, he doesn't want us to find it.
Yeah.
Sally and Harry watch the armed Bedouins gallop away. As As the archaeologists get back to their work, Harry is in one of the tents examining the scepter, which he identified as the Eye of the Medusa. He examines the snake head of the scepter and the stone in its mouth with a magnifying glass. As he does so, a wind blows through the tent.
Something.
What is it?
I don't know, but it's big. It's really big.
Rudy's found the petrified snake creature.
He's an ugly son of a bitch, ain't he?
Yeah. You know, whoever carved these must have carved those Berber statues as well. Material's the same. So's the style.
Hey, Doc, check it out.
Harry joins Sierra.
What is it?
I think we found the tail.
Whoa, that's big, isn't it?
Big is nice.
Big is nice.
A caption reads, Pueblo Springs, Colorado, 2 months later. People come and go on a university campus. And Harry is with a colleague, Carlton.
I must say, Harry, it sounds all very exciting. Gods, monsters, the keys to a lost civilization. You've really outdone yourself this time.
Well, there's still a lot about the Order of the Sun that we don't understand. We're still putting all the pieces together.
Ah, the sun, the sun. I just worship the sun. And you think this may be one of them?
Well, it's clearly from the same period. Once we finish restoring it, it should tell us a lot more about the tribe.
You know, my idea of having this exhibit coincide with Friday's eclipse was just brilliant. It's created quite a buzz, and benefactors love buzz, which means they're very pleased, which means I'm very pleased. And I plan to offer you John Baldwin's position this fall.
Oh. Well, you know, sir, we've only discussed the possibility of me becoming co-chair with John.
Oh, posh, posh, posh. That was before he decided to retire. And besides, I never liked him anyway.
Well, thank you.
I don't know about you, but I am just beside myself.
Well, I guess now I'm going to be forced to have to track down my good suit, huh?
The good suit, Harry! I love it! I love it!
Harry comes outside with Carlton.
You know, my only regret is that this Friday doesn't fall on the 13th, you know, because with the eclipse and everything, that would make it just that more spine-tingling, don't you think? You know, oh, Miss Donegan, Miss Donegan.
Hi.
Hi, getting to jump on the balsam.
Oh, I'm just moving some things into my office. Oh, no, it's okay. I'll help you.
You got it? Okay, fine. That's perfect.
Harry. Harrison McCall. Everybody calls me Harry.
Oh, I know. I've heard about you.
Good things, I hope.
This is Rachel Donovan, and she is going to be taking over your 100-level classes. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, really? Oh, great. Well, then you and I have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So I'm going to let you two get to it. This is exciting, isn't it? Welcome aboard, Miss Donovan.
Thank you.
This is exciting, isn't it? It
is. Carlton goes on his way.
So where to?
Upstairs.
After you.
Harry notices blonde Rachel's swinging hips as she goes up the university steps.
Bullfinch's mythology? Brewer's dictionary of phrase and fable? The occult throughout the ages? Wow. You're really into this stuff, huh?
Say that. I studied history and cultural mythology at Cornell for 4 years, and I've spent the last two at Whittendale in Arizona teaching it.
History and myth? It's quite a contrast, don't you think?
I find the two go hand in hand more often than not.
Witches, ghosts, and dragons? I mean, you do realize this is the science department, right?
Witches and ghosts are symbolic representations of mankind's ongoing quest to offset the ordinary of this world by seeking the supernatural and the extraordinary in another.
Oh, but dragons exist.
She holds up her finger, then hands him a bone.
What? What's it? You're trying to tell me this is from a dragon? I hate to break this to you, lady, but this is...
A Tyrannosaurus Rex. But if you were an ancient Sumerian circa 2000 BC, or, say, a Tudor knight without the benefit of centuries of scientific knowledge, yeah, it's dragon. I call that science.
I get it. You're one of those gotta-believe-it-to-see-it people.
threat.
No, I am just interested in exploring the fine line of truth between those who actually lived history and those who seek to rediscover it.
Ah, Whittendale. Huh? Ah, right on. Yeah, I hear those college kids down in Arizona really know how to throw a bash.
I wouldn't know. I teach my students, I don't party with them.
Yeah, well, how do you feel about fellow faculty?
Did you just ask me out?
I don't know, it depends. The guy in the photo, current or ex?
Current.
Huh.
Brother.
Oh, excellent. In that case, Friday, we got this little thing at the museum, and I...
Yeah, I know about your exhibition at the museum. According to Dr. Carlton, my presence is more or less mandatory.
That's great. What time can I pick you up?
You know, I'm really busy. I have a lot of work to do. And you know, I just don't think it's a good idea, you and I going out on a date.
Who said anything about a date? It's just two colleagues hanging out, swapping war stories.
I think I've heard more than enough about your stories.
Yeah, but, you know, I really do tell them better. I do.
I'll see you on Friday, Dr. McCall.
Fantastic.
She closes the door on him, and he smiles.
Yeah.
On Friday, crowds of people walk towards the low-rise Natural History Museum, where Harry's exhibit is on display. A visitor shakes hands with a man on the door. Inside, drinks are being served, and people stand around, chatting. T-shirts bearing the slogan, "The Order of the Sun," are on sale. A visitor buys one. People look at the various exhibits, and as Harry stands chatting to a couple, Sierra and Rudy spot him and make their way over to him.
We have a problem.
What, they run out of souvenir t-shirts already?
You remember the statue of the one-armed man?
Yeah.
He's not solid all the way through.
Did CAT scan, picked up bones and some other biological material.
Human?
Yeah, the exterior is a mix of limonite and carbonaceous silicates, and that is 2 inches thick. I think we're looking at some kind of mummification process here.
Basically, we just disturbed and robbed a 2,000-year-old gravesite.
Now I'm gonna have nightmares for a month. Harry, I think we're gonna have to contact that tribe. I think we're gonna have to return those remains, right?
I certainly hope he's not talking about our remains.
Harry, I want to introduce you to Hannah Carmelina Dorini Frankman and her lovely husband, Ben.
Brock.
Sorry.
Enchanté.
Hannah proffers her hand, and Harry kisses it.
Likewise.
With their donations, the Frankmans have been funding your project in Libya.
Oh. Oh, wow. Oh, sorry. Wow, we could not have done this without you.
It is as they say, only money.
I like money.
Yes. People collect all sorts of things, objets d'art, houses, cars.
I only collect supermarket coupons.
Hannah's unimpressed.
We simply share the same fascination as yourself, Dr. McCall. History. Tell me, being an archaeologist must be very exciting. Like Indiana Jones.
More rocks, less whips, but it has its moments.
More rocks! Great, Harry! I love it!
Alan showed me what you brought back from your last trip. Absolutely marvelous. My husband and I very much look forward to what treasures you brought back to us this time.
What?
We are ready for you, sir.
Oh. It's showtime! And I want you and your lovely husband, Brock, to come join me right up front so you can get a bird's eye view of the whole thing. It's going to be very exciting for the unveiling, and I'm also speaking.
Glamorous brunette Hannah proffers her hand again and Harry kisses it. Then she and her husband, Brock, go.
Easy, boys. They weren't real.
Yeah, neither were those jewels.
But they're real enough for me.
I'd like to thank you all for coming and joining us here today, as we celebrate not only the power of history, but the timeless beauty of art. We also celebrate the milestone of the relationship between the museum and the university, now entering its 10th year.
Oh.
If this were the Oscars, it would have gone to commercial by now.
Wow, you look really nice.
Thanks.
Rachel smiles.
I'm surprised, man of the hour. I thought you'd be the one up there making speeches.
Nah, it's not really me.
Neither's the spinach dip.
What?
Got a little spinach dip on your tongue.
Oh, saving it for later.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Order of the Sun.
As display curtains open, revealing the petrified snake creature and the eye of the Medusa scepter, Rachel looks amazed.
Well, folks, we're less than 2 minutes away. And if you haven't gotten your glasses yet, get them from
where... Is that them?
The eye of the Medusa? It's impressive, huh? What, have you heard of it?
Well, yeah, I've heard the legends surrounding it, but I never thought I'd...
Hannah is also studying the Eye of the Medusa.
Now, I would be remiss if we didn't mention Harry McCall, who is responsible for this wonderful exhibit. Now, Harry has devoted his entire life to digging up old garbage in the desert.
Carlton looks to his aide to lead the laughs.
Harry and his team have unearthed some of the most amazing treasures, which you know as... What? Oh, folks, it's almost time. We're almost there. So remember to put on your solar shades so you can look at the eclipse. And here we go. And
five,
four, three, two, one.
Wearing protective glasses, the visitors look up at the sun through a skylight in the roof. As the light dims, Hannah notices the gemstone in the mouth of the snake on the eye of the Medusa, glowing blue. The petrified eye of the snake creature, the basilisk, also glows blue as it comes to life. Stone once again becomes living flesh and scales. The basilisk's eye blinks. The people begin to notice that the basilisk is changing. Hackles on its back are rising up.
Well, how about that, folks? Isn't that amazing? What the hell is going on?
The basilisk snaps the chains, suspending it from the ceiling. It sprays venom over a couple of the guests, its eyes glowing blue, and the couple turn to stone. It smashes into Carlton's lectern and he panics. A man falls down the stairs, and another is crushed by a statue. Rachel escaped together.
Basilisk is real!
Amid the pandemonium, the guests try to flee the museum, and another man tumbles down the stone steps. The monster's tail capsizes a statue which crushes a glass display case. The eye of the Medusa is knocked to the floor. Clutching some paperwork, Rudy is hit by the powerful tail and sent flying in a flurry of paper down the stairs.
Brock, the scepter, now's our chance.
Hello? Did you just see what that thing did to those people?
Where the hell is she going?
Hannah grabs the eye of the Medusa. Two security guards shoot at the basilisk, which only serves to irritate it, and it knocks one of the guards through a display cabinet. Sierra tries to grab the eye of the Medusa from Hannah.
Not so fast, John.
Get your hands off of it! I paid for it!
You should have spent the money on better boobs instead!
Hannah punches Sierra.
Sierra!
The creature sneaks up behind Sierra and attacks her.
Come on, this way. Shortcut to the basement.
Outside, police cars arrive along with a fire truck. The officers are met with a flood of panicking people fleeing the museum. A police lieutenant shoos away a reporter as he turns to his men. The floor of the museum collapses, and surrounded by debris, Rachel sits up with a start in the basement. She holds a hand to her bruised head, then looks up at the hole in the ceiling above her. She crawls along the floor on her hands and knees. She recoils at the sight of Carlton turned to stone. Elsewhere, Hannah, clutching the eye of the Medusa, and her husband, Brock, make their way through a service area and come to a locked door.
I don't suppose you could hurry things up a bit. We are trying to make a getaway here.
You're the one who decided not to go out the front door like everyone else.
Darling, thieves can't be choosers. Sometimes you have to improvise. You know, after all that planning on to try to break into this place, who knew that that thing would actually wake up and make our jobs that much easier?
Brock picks the lock, and they go through.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Rachel, crawling through the wreckage, bumps into Harry.
Are you all right?
Is anybody else alive down here?
Yeah, barely. Can someone tell me what the hell just happened up there?
Fill you in on the details later. I just need to find a way out here.
The other survivor is the second security guard. Meanwhile, the creature is on the move.
I think it's some kind of drainage tunnel.
They all peer into the open manhole.
You're not actually gonna go crawling around down there, are you?
Well.
Okay, follow me.
The guard leads the way into the manhole. Outside, the police lieutenant instructs his men.
Now remember, priority number one is survivors. Finding them and getting them the hell out of there, all right?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
The lieutenant watches several military vehicles pull up and soldiers spill out. A heavy-set black senior officer gets out of one of the vehicles.
Lieutenant Bradley, Level Springs PD.
Colonel Douglas, Colorado National Guard, 88th Troop Division. We were notified you have some sort of terror incident here?
Not exactly. What we have is multiple reports about a hostile, but my men haven't encountered it or even seen it.
It?
Yeah. To be truthful, we're not even sure what we're dealing with here, Colonel. The best as we can figure out, somebody must have accidentally let loose some kind of big reptile.
Sounds like you called in the wrong outfit, Lieutenant. My men are highly armed, highly trained emergency responders. We don't do animal control.
Colonel, I...
Look, you got a fix on this large reptile?
No, what we're doing right now...
In that case, I need you and your men to set up a perimeter. I want this entire block cordoned off. We'll take it from here.
As Colonel Douglas heads off, Lieutenant Bradley sighs. Inside the museum, Rudy walks down a flight of stairs and retrieves some of his paperwork. Something on the floor catches his eye. It appears to be a scale from the basilisk's back. He puts it in his pocket and walks on.
Hey! What the hell are you still doing in here, son?
I was
Talk to me.
It's gonna take days to sift through all the debris down here. Counted 19 bodies so far and not a single survivor.
Rudy makes a call.
Be alive, Harry.
Look, any sign of anything else down there? Maybe some kind of animal or something?
Well, that's the thing, sir. We don't know what it is.
What? Come on, talk to me!
Whatever else was down here, I think it's gone.
Gone? Gone where?
In a subterranean tunnel.
There's no reception. One to two is concrete. Make it out of here. Remind me to switch cell.
I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of Animal Planet, and that was one big mother of a snake. Me and my partner unloaded 12 rounds into that thing, and they just bounced off them like they were peanuts, for crying out loud.
Well, it was a statue when we first brought it here. We didn't know what it was and that it was alive inside.
Whoa, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you brought that thing here on purpose?
It's called a basilisk. It's an Egyptian word. It means king of the serpents. It's a creature the ancients believed could paralyze its victims with its venom and turn them to stone with its glance. There are passages in the writings of Pliny the Elder and the Bible which tell how the first basilisk was born of a chicken's egg, hatched by a snake, during a solstice in which the stars of Sirius and the sun are closest together.
I guess that explains why snake meat tastes so much like chicken.
Just how do we stop it?
No, wait. No offense here, but I just want to get the hell away from this thing.
Well, legends vary. Some say that loud noises can drive it back into the darkness. Others have suggested that the sight of its own reflection can turn it into stone, but apparently the only surefire way to defeat it is with the Eye of Medusa.
Oh, great. Well, since no one seems to have a boombox or a big-ass mirror... By the way, do you have that eye thing that you just mentioned? Do you?
No, but I know who does.
Did you see it, Brock? The way it sparkled?
No, I didn't. I was a little busy watching that monster eat people and turn them to stone.
Baby, shh. Don't look so concerned. The hard part's over. We're practically home free.
Are you crazy? We're still down here in the dark. That thing is on the loose, and we still don't have the map.
But Brocky, that's why we have this, which means you're going to make me a very happy woman by using it to translate the map. And when I'm happy,
Brock makes to kiss Hannah.
So, all we need to do now is get over to the university and retrieve that map while people are distracted here, right?
He shrugs.
It's that way, I remember now.
Are you sure?
Oh yeah, it's all up here like a steel trap. Huh. There's an old subway tunnel ahead. We can use it to reach the surface.
She kisses him on the lips.
Brock! You said it was this way. Idiot.
Harry and Rachel.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say you planned this whole thing just to get me alone in the dark.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Hey! Look, up here. Might be a way out.
Sims, the surviving guard, has found a door. Now they're wading through ankle-deep water on a narrow walkway.
Hey.
They found a hand ladder leading up to a manhole. Harry climbs up it and tries to open the manhole.
I think it's welded shut.
Great. Now what?
Cell phone. Oh, come on, baby, come on.
Can you get a signal?
I have one bar. Oh, come on, baby, come on. Let me hear you ring. Oh, I think it. Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Rudy! Ah! Oh, God. Yes. Oh, dude, I love you.
Oh, I wish I knew how to quit you, Harry.
convoy of three military SUVs drives into a parking lot serving some office blocks. The vehicles pull up, and Rudy gets out of one of them, accompanied by several soldiers.
Harry!
Rudy!
Rudy listens at a manhole cover.
Rudy, over here!
He crawls to another cover.
Captain Garcia, take care of this young man.
Where's my camera when I need it?
You brought the army with you?
Ooh. Harry!
Harry! Hey! Harry!
I'm gonna get you out of there!
National Guard, we're here to get you folks out.
You guys didn't happen to bring any howitzers with you, did you?
Son, the 88th is engineering, artillery, and public affairs. We got the military police and a few Huey units based out of Denver. We even got the army band.
But no howitzers?
Stand back and let my men do their job.
Colonel Douglas steps aside and a soldier with cutting gear steps forward. Down below, Harry and the others can hear a noise.
What was that?
Sims cautiously makes his way around the corner to take a look. Harry goes off in the opposite direction.
Wait right here.
Rachel, remaining by the manhole cover, looks apprehensively in the direction taken by Sims.
Harry?
Getting no reply, she looks increasingly anxious. Turns in Sims' direction as Harry comes back to Rachel.
Harry, come on.
Blood turns the water red as they climb up the ladder to the surface, where the soldiers have now opened the manhole. They climb out into the daylight, and Harry addresses Douglas.
I think he's still down there. He got him. I think he killed Sims.
You heard the man. Take care of it.
You can't do that. You can't send them down there. They'll do absolutely nothing.
We'll see about that.
Douglas nods to his men. Three of the men peer down the manhole cover. One of them hands his rifle to a colleague and climbs down into it. The other two follow him down. Up on the surface, Colonel Douglas and Harry wait tensely. The three guardsmen below point their flashlights in the gloom.
All right, Peterson, you take the right. Me and Michael will take the left.
The soldiers split up, with Peterson going off on his own. Up on the surface, everyone is looking anxious. Down below, the squad leader and Michael make their way around a corner. His rifle shouldered, ready to shoot, Peterson also rounds a corner. The squad leader and Michael, with flashlights mounted on their rifles ahead of them, advance. Peterson looks up, and the creature lunges at him from a tunnel, grabbing him in its jaws. Michael and the squad leader turn around and start shooting at it. Fires venom at them, wrapping Michael in its coils. The squad leader frantically climbs back up to the manhole cover. He pauses to throw a grenade down at the basilisk. Up on the surface, everyone hears it go off. A moment later, the blood-soaked squad leader climbs halfway out of the manhole, only to be immediately dragged back down. Rachel covers her ears against his screams.
Damn it, don't just stand there. You got weapons, use them!
Sir, yes, sir.
A soldier shoots a bazooka down the man.
I think it's gone, sir. It's either dead or we scared it off.
It's not dead.
How in the hell do you know that?
Because it survived worse.
I want 2 more units mobilized immediately and ground penetrating equipment up and running in 5. If this thing is on the move, I want to know where it's going.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, you two know what you're talking about more than anybody else around here, so damn it, start talking.
More armored personnel carriers and military trucks arrive on the scene. Armed military patrol the parking lot. Harry and Rachel, both looking exhausted, sit on the tailgate of an ambulance nearby.
What's it like to work with a living legend? Can't imagine the study of mythology allows for too many opportunities for field work.
Actually, there are cryptozoologists who spend their entire lives tracking what the general public thinks is pure fantasy, like the Tasmanian tiger, or Nessie, or Sasquatch. Things that might not even exist.
Yeah, I guess tangling with the basilisk and living to tell about it's gotta stand for something, huh? Yeah. I should at least get a cover of a tabloid or sit down with Katie Couric for a minute.
I'll tell you one thing, you do know how to show a girl a good time.
Wait till you see what I got lined up for a second date.
Rudy.
Hey, Doc. Can you,
Harry and Rachel join Rudy.
I found this inside, okay? And check this out, okay?
The scale.
Whatever this thing is, it's made out of some serious body armor.
Look, I don't think protection's the only thing this is designed for.
What do you mean?
How does the scepter work?
It's pretty simple, really. The light from the eclipse hits the diamond atop the scepter, wakes the creature up.
It causes a seriously deadly case of morning breath. Can we go over here?
Hannah and Brock are in a tunnel.
Brock, how much farther are we?
I don't know. Maybe I should check my GPS.
Brock, I don't like sarcasm.
Hannah teetering behind Brock in her red mini dress and high heels.
I'm not talking about myth or legend here. I'm talking scientifically, right? What causes the reaction?
I don't know.
There's got to be some way for us to use this thing against it.
I hope it doesn't involve a solar eclipse because I did some Googling on my BlackBerry, and I don't want to be the one to piss in the pool here, but the next solar eclipse isn't for another 4 years.
Look, just take this into the lab and study it from every conceivable angle. Everything we know about this thing is predicated on mythology. We need something biological.
You're in luck, because biological is my middle name. It's actually Herman, but, you know, I'm going to have Rudy. I'm on it.
It's great. Sorry about Sierra.
My fault. If she hadn't been trying to keep Hannah from stealing the scepters, she'd have gotten out of there like everybody else. Like us.
Harry, you can't blame yourself.
Why not? I dug it up. I'm the one responsible for bringing it here.
And you can stop it. And I'm gonna help you.
Rats scuttle along the tracks in the tunnel as Hannah and her husband walk along beside them. And Brock comes up to a door.
See, I promised you a way out. Here we are.
4.5 hours later.
You know, let me know when I do something right for a change.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. It's just that we are on a bit of a tight schedule here.
The door is padlocked.
Hey, so close and yet so far. Now what?
A sign on the doorway reads, "Warning, flood tunnels. No entry." Brock picks up a metal bar and pries open the padlock. Hannah looks relieved.
See? I don't do 2 hours a day at the gym for nothing.
And here I thought you were studying for the bar.
Brock leads the way into the tunnel.
Brock, I can't see!
Her name is Hannah Carmelini Torini Frankman. That's what she's going by. I'd be willing to bet that it's probably just as phony as the rest of it.
Let me get this straight. First, my man got to come down here in the middle of the night because you let some kind of monster loose beneath the streets. Now you want us to take a time out to hunt down some woman who stole one of your relics?
That scepter is the only reason that the basilisk woke up in the first place. We think that there's a pretty good chance that we might be able to use it to put it back to sleep again.
You think? You look, lady. I got guys out canvassing the street for giant mirrors and a psyops unit working double time out of Fort Carson to put something together based on your acoustic shock and awe theory. Now you telling me you need some kind of golden rod, too?
Listen, Colonel, nobody's an expert on this creature because no one's seen one for nearly 2,000 years. Until we know more about it, what it's capable of, all we have to go on is myths and legends and hope that there is some grain of truth to them.
Yeah, well, you stick to your legends, Miss Donegan. I put my faith in good old-fashioned man-made firepower.
Sir, tracking teams report the creature's moved into the subway.
There's a subway here?
Construction begun in 1929 under Herbert Hoover and ended 6 months later when the stock market crashed. They only managed to complete this short tunnel here, connecting a couple of hotel basements.
Look, we don't need a full history lesson, Captain. Where's the snake?
Somewhere around here, sir. The tunnel drains into the sewers here and here, which is probably how it got in there.
If that thing gets out, half of Pueblo Springs is going to be turned into a stone garden. You have to contain it until we get that scepter back.
Look, I give the orders around here, Dr. McCall, if you don't mind. Now this here, that's the only way out.
Yes, sir. I've got a team of men on perimeter evac duty in that vicinity now, sir.
Get them in there and tell them to seal it off ASAP. That thing doesn't see daylight, understood? Once we get it cornered, we throw everything we got at it.
Sir, yes, sir.
You two experts ride with me.
Colonel, I think one of us should stay here, just in case.
In case what? I'm no good to anybody here.
Rachel, I was just trying to...
I appreciate your concern. I'm going with you.
She's a feisty one, huh?
You have no idea.
Hannah and Brock come out of the mouth of the tunnel into the night. And Hannah tries to compose herself.
Smell that, Brock?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't expect to be crawling around in a sewer tunnel.
That's freedom.
Hold it, right there.
Oh, goodness. Looks like we got off at the wrong stop.
What the hell are you people doing down there?
Well,
we're
helping the homeless, of course. See, my husband and I believe that it's our duty to help the less fortunate and undesirable people of the world, Brock. Money. See, money. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Here. Money. Good money. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, doggy. Rip.
Yes. Come here, Brock. Wave to the nice soldier man. Yeah. Money.
They hand out cash to some hobos standing by a brazier.
Any sign of that thing yet?
No, sir. But we did see a man and a woman with a large stick.
That's her. That's gotta be Hannah.
Have your men arrest her, Colonel. We need that scepter.
Detain them.
You two, come with me.
Excuse me, sir, but are we in some sort of trouble here?
I'm not at liberty to say, ma'am. Right now, you just need to come with me.
The creature emerges from the tunnel behind them.
Grab the wire!
The hobos scatter.
Colonel Douglas, sir. Target is confirmed and free. Please advise.
The soldiers open fire on the giant snake, but it grabs one of them in its jaws and bites his arm off. It advances on Hannah and Brock. But the light from a street lamp, refracting through the gemstone on the eye of the Medusa, deters it. And the two remaining soldiers keep shooting. Brock and Hannah run.
Somebody answer me. Where did this thing go?
All units, report status immediately.
Doc, it's Rude.
Rudy, how's it going with that scale?
Oh, it's coming all right. The best I can figure is it's made of some kind of fibrous material with organic components, but then there's also these silicate components as well.
It looks like a lot of spider silk, and then it's woven together with, I don't know, it's like asbestos or something.
It's very tough, Doc. It tore your diamond saw to shreds when I was trying to cut through it. I'm sorry, by the way. Hello?
What about fire? Would that have any effect on this thing? Or, like, electricity?
Well, we are talking about an insulator here, Doc. I mean, maybe. Maybe if you had something capable of producing a very high temperature or...
A really, really high volt, message, it might do something, but...
But we don't even know what this thing is made of underneath the scale, you know?
Well, according to Professor Donegan, this thing's got a thing about mirrors. Does that mean anything to you?
The basilisk is very sensitive about the way he looks. Unless you're thinking in terms of shooting this thing with x-rays or with gamma rays, and in that case, you'd have to filter through something with a very high refractive index.
Like a diamond?
Like the diamond, the scepter. Yeah, that would make sense. Did you guys recover that eye yet?
Yeah, well, we're working on it.
Oh, there's something else. I went back and I looked at that toxin I told you we found on the one-armed man, and it is a 100% match for a similar material I found on that scale.
Any idea what it is?
It's venom, and it's highly paralytic from the looks of it. Doc, this thing is like the perfect animal.
There's no such thing. Every animal can be killed. Just keep looking, all right?
You got it.
Rudy hangs up and takes a bite of a sandwich. Hannah and Brock arrive outside a multi-story parking lot.
Hannah, where are you going?
I want to see if I can exchange this thing without a receipt. Where do you think I'm going? We gotta give that beast alternative dining options. We gotta lose him.
What we need to do is get that map. If we don't use that thing to decode it by sunrise.
Yes, the moon's realign and all of this was for nothing. I'm fully aware of that. Brock!
If it's so afraid of that scepter, then why is it still after us?
Honey, I don't know, but I'm not gonna stay here and find out. Let's go!
Inside, a janitor is carrying bags of garbage to a dumpster. Disposing of the bags, he's suddenly alerted by the sound. As the man peers into the dumpster, the basilisk rises up behind it. Janitor trips over boxes as he flees.
Sir, spiders placed a creature right outside the Staver Center.
All units to the Staver Center Mall immediately. I want that place evacuated, but don't, I repeat, do not cause a panic. I also want the immobilization units in place. And where are my mirrors, damn it? That thing decides to go shopping. I want to be ready to fortify the perimeter with them.
The mall is crowded with people shopping. As Brock and Hannah make their way into the mall, she does her best to make the serpent-headed scepter look as inconspicuous as possible. They duck back around a corner as they see two security guards.
Great plan, Hannah. You'll never notice us in here.
Just try to blend. See? Shopping. Blend.
I'm blending.
A guy listening to a personal stereo is at a counter, trying on a pair of shades.
The mall is now closed. Please move to your nearest exit. We hope you enjoyed your shopping experience here at Staver Center Mall.
The scaly creature snakes up behind the guy, and catching sight of it in the stall mirror, he spins around in terror. The creature devours him, and blood splats across the floor, just as Harry, Rachel, and Colonel Douglas come into the mall.
You two stay here. Let's go.
What are we supposed to do?
Have an honest Julius. Try to stay out of harm's way. I need you on call for.
Nerds are enjoying a role-playing game.
Oh, I'm afraid you just landed in the Swamp of Sorrows. That's minus 6 health and minus 3 strength.
What? It's only minus 4 health and 2 strength, you dungeon Nazi.
The questmaster has spoken.
Dude, it's a dragon.
The basilisk is riding the escalator.
It's not a dragon, stupid. It's a basilisk.
You two dorks are both wrong. That is clearly a wyvern. Now take your turn.
As Harry and Rachel look around the mall, she spots Hannah and Brock.
Harry, look.
Where are you going?
Crap!
As the storeholder starts closing up, he spots the basilisk snaking up the corridor towards him. steps back into the store and pulls down the security shutter. The creature squirts its deadly venom, and the man collapses, with the fluid burning through his clothing. The creature rams the security shutter. Elsewhere, Hannah and Brock are running through the mall. They skid to a halt and run back the other way as they see Rachel and Harry coming towards them. Outside, more soldiers and police arrive. The military personnel switch on floodlights and move large mirrors into position around the mall.
Over here, over here, over here!
Rifles are cocked and shouldered, ready to shoot. One soldier radios in.
Sir, mirror shields are nearly in place at both the main and south entrances. Liquid nitrogen tanks are also ready. We're still waiting on the acoustic setup.
In the mall, Colonel Douglas and two other soldiers hear the basilisk up ahead.
Okay, according to our two experts, you're not supposed to let this thing get a fix on you, so.
Don't worry. It'll never get the chance.
The two men, both military policemen, draw their guns and advance slowly ahead of Douglas. Rounding a corner, they spot the basilisk up ahead, still staring through the shop security shutter at the hapless storeholder, sprayed with venom. The two military policemen open fire, and the creature flicks a potted plant at one of them with its tail. It flattens him. Then he knocks the remaining policeman over some banisters, and he falls to his death. Harry and Rachel.
We lose
him. You take sportswear, I'll take accessories.
Rachel comes into a department store, which is full of racks of clothes and the occasional mannequin modeling them. She moves cautiously, searching for Hannah. As she goes on searching, Hannah watches her from behind a pillar, still clutching the eye of the Medusa.
Looking for this?
She whacks it at Rachel's head, knocking her over.
You go down even easier than his other assistant. I'm not his assistant. We're colleagues.
Rachel recovers and kicks Hannah back, and she drops the scepter. They both scramble for it. And Hannah grabs Rachel's ankle.
I have waited way too long for this, sister. The scepter's mine, and so's the map.
What map? The map that my generous donations helped your colleague to procure. After all, what's $100,000? You're this close to being a billionaire.
As they struggle, Brock grabs the scepter.
Hannah, stop fooling around. Let's go.
He runs off and comes face to face with his nemesis. Vainly, he jabs at the creature with the scepter. Hannah and Rachel watch in horror as the creature, weary of the jabbing, sprays venom at him. Hannah watches open mouth as the venom sizzles through her husband, turning him to stone. The basilisk smashes his victim's remains and slithers away. Hannah punches Rachel in the face, then runs to retrieve the scepter. As she makes off with it, Rachel gathers her wits and gets to her feet. The creature has disappeared amongst the clothing racks. Rachel, stumbling over a toppled mannequin as she runs, is rescued by Harry. The creature reappears at the end of a coat rack. It looks searchingly around the store. Up ahead of it, Harry and Rachel are pretending to be mannequins in a store display, which features three actual mannequins. The creature snakes over to the display and inspects it closely. Rachel and Harry keep absolutely still. The reptilian hide creature takes a good close look at Rachel, Harry, and each of the mannequins in turn. It sniffs Rachel, knocks over the end mannequin, and slithers away. Harry and Rachel hurry off to search for the scepter.
The scepter's gone.
She must have doubled back for it, that cheap, tacky, silicone-infested bitch.
Oh, I don't think she paid for those shoes either. Come on, let's go.
Outside, they bump into Douglas.
Where the devil are you two been?
They were having a huge white sale. Come on. Trust us.
They run back through the mall. Elsewhere, the basilisk has made its way into a diner where a board advertises corn dogs. The creature cruises between the empty tables. Harry, Rachel, and Colonel Douglas watch from an upper level as it helps itself to someone's abandoned portion of nachos.
I've got men waiting outside those doors waiting to put Plan A into effect. This thing suddenly decides it's got a hankering for Nacho Supreme.
Definitely doesn't look like it's going anywhere fast.
I have an idea. We need to find the control room for this place.
Control. It's a key word with this one.
Yeah, I know what you mean, brother.
Rudy is working on his computer.
It's about time.
He pulls up some X-ray scans, then gets on his phone.
Hey, yo, Pete, it's Rude.
Hey, Rudy.
What's going on? I just picked up these X-ray scans you just sent me. They're specifically numbered 109 through 112.
What do you guys got going on over there? Smuggling operation? Little China White, maybe?
No way.
Rudy, I was just kidding.
He's seen something on one of the scans. In the mall control room...
You really want to drive that thing crazy, pop in some Ashley Simpson.
I think this will do the trick.
Rachel is typing on a keyboard.
Hope your men are ready, Colonel.
Stand by at the south entrance.
They watch the basilisk on a monitor.
Be damned.
It snakes its way to the entrance on the south side, where the soldiers are waiting. They hide behind the mirrors as it snakes out of the mall. It looks at its reflection in the mirrors. It rears up as it sees the troops hiding behind the mirrors. Then it demolishes one of them. Harry, Rachel, and Colonel Douglas watch on a monitor as the troops open fire on the creature, which seems unbothered by the bullets. As the creature knocks over a soldier, the captain steps up and hoses it with liquid nitrogen. But a bullet ricochets off the creature's scaly hide and punctures the nitrogen tank on the captain's back. He takes off like a deflating balloon and splats into the side of a building. The creature rips another soldier's head off, and blood fountains out of his body.
Shooting at this thing is not gonna stop it, Colonel. Your men are just hurting themselves at this point. Come on, you gotta pull them out of there.
Captain, I'm giving you the order to fall back. The operation has been compromised.
I repeat, fall back!
The captain lies dead, and on the screen, the trio spot Hannah, clutching the scepter.
Where the hell's she going?
Oh, she said something about a map. She said that you found some kind of map on one of your digs.
Map? I didn't find him.
Harry has an idea.
The scroll.
What scroll?
I'm restoring it at the university. All this time I thought it was a tapestry or something.
Whatever it is, Hannah thinks it's gonna make her one rich bitch.
On a nighttime street, the giant snake brings the cars to a grinding halt. Panicked drivers abandon their cars and flee for their lives. A motorcyclist comes around a corner and collides with one of the cars. He flips over the handlebars and lands on his back. A convertible pulls up. Its driver, a guy in a Stetson, is plucked from the car by the basilisk and chewed through. Hannah runs up the street with a scepter. And standing near an ambulance, Harry gets a phone call.
Hello?
Finally, where have you been, Doc? I've been calling you for the last half an hour.
I've been kind of busy, Rudy.
Well, Doc?
Bust out the cigars. It looks like our basilisk is about to be a daddy. Well, technically, he's going to be a mama.
What are you talking about?
I just got the scans back I had done on the basilisk when it was still a stiff, and it's carrying like 18, 19, 20 eggs.
She's pregnant?
That means we have to stop it before it finds a place to nest.
I also got some new information for you on the petrification process.
The victims, or the statues, whatever you care to call them, their surface tissue is actually being converted to silicon.
How?
It's a nuclear fusion reaction. It's set off by some sort of particle emission.
That'll work up the chemical bonds real fast. We're talking about instant death here.
And then the resulting material, which you have left, the stone, it's a silicated organic resin. It's very similar to amber or petrified wood, which is extremely similar to the makeup in the basilisk's own scale.
This thing is incredible, Doc. It's amazing.
I've never seen anything like it before.
You know what? We'll have all the time in the world to admire it whenever it's dead.
Look, I need you to do me a favor. Hannah's on her way over to PSU right now. She's after that map.
Well, what map?
It's the scroll, the one in the restoration lab.
The scroll is not a map.
Are you serious? Are you talking about like a real buried treasure?
X marks the spot, our main...
Would you just listen to me, Rudy?
Look, now we don't know what she's up to.
All right, that's why I need you to get to the restoration lab before she does.
Oh, right, yeah, I can do that.
Look, we're on our way to you, okay? Just make sure you call me when you get it, okay?
Okay, yeah.
All right.
That scroll is a map?
Contact Fort Carson. Tell them to get their asses up here pronto. In the meantime, I want all artillery units mobilized. And tell our snappers to get our last resort prepped and hot.
Yes, sir.
What's the last resort?
Classified information, and the last time I checked, the two of you were both still civilians.
What are you gonna do, nuke it? Oh my god.
Colonel, from what we've observed about what makes that thing tick, attacking him with anything nuclear is a really bad idea.
Well, we'll just see about that. The moment that thing clears the downtown area, I'm gonna hit him with the big guns.
Her. It's a her.
Right, the big problems usually are.
Well, one of those big problems right now is headed for the university, that staff. Getting it back from her is the only way we're gonna stop the basilisk from either petrifying or eating half of Colorado.
Look, I'm sorry you lost your magic wand, Doc. Now, I've been extremely patient indulging the two of you, but I can't afford to lose any more time or any more men on your cockamamie theories.
Colonel, tracking teams are reporting that the creature's moving south.
Yeah, what's in the nearby vicinity?
The hotel district, the university, and the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, look. Expand the evacuation radius about another 10 miles.
Another 10 miles, sir?
Yeah.
Sir, yes, sir.
Let that staff know that they might be next. Well, we need to keep this thing and get at it. But I want those people ready to move just in case this thing starts to hit in their direction.
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, looks like you two get your ride to the university after all.
They've gone.
Damn it! Son of a...
They're in a car.
So I'm clear on this. Did we just steal a government vehicle?
Hey, we're both upstanding taxpaying citizens. The way I see it is we're borrowing it. The big question is why is the basilisk following Hannah?
It's not following Hannah, it's following the scepter.
But if you knew someone could potentially turn you into stone, wouldn't you do your best to stay as far away from it as possible?
Well, the alchemist who forged the scepter was charged with creating the most dazzling, beautiful object known to man or beast. Something the basilisk couldn't help but be drawn to. For all we know, he might have even enchanted it somehow. Cast a spell or... Look, I don't have all the answers, okay?
Rudy is at the university.
I got it. 5 years. 158 credits. 7 digs on 4 continents, and you're still a golfer. So, well, then why is it always Rudy do this, Rudy do that? Rudy, why don't you crunch an entire thesis worth of data for us in a half an hour? Hey, Rudy, you know that crypt we just dug up? Why don't you crawl around inside, take a little look, see, watch out for the dung beetles.
He walks into the lab.
Just once. Good job, Rudy. You really saved our butts on that one, Rudy. Just once. Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you, Rudy.
Hannah has got him.
Hey, keep that thing. We might need it.
Rachel finds a handgun in the car glove box.
My translator suffered an extremely unfortunate accident earlier this evening. So, if you know how to read these symbols, now would be a good time to start.
Lady, I'm sorry. I'm just an assistant. I swear. I'm just...
Okay, lady. Okay.
I'll take a look. That's some kind of an eye. And over here it is again. It's another eye. It's a seeing eye.
Yes?
I see you. I scream. You scream. We all scream for ice cream.
God, stop playing the fool.
Yes, but I do it so well.
Okay, pick up the map. Pick up the map! Okay, come on. End the sector. Let's go. That's good. Move it, you four-eyed slug.
Hannah?
I guess this is the part where you say you're never gonna get away with this.
No, this is the part where I tell you if you don't let go of my partner, I'm gonna put a bullet in you.
Partner? Harry, are you serious? Who's gonna be your assistant, man?
Shut up, fool! Just give us the scepter.
Harry. Half your life spent looking for buried treasure, and all this time you didn't even know what you had in your hands?
It's over, all right?
Yeah. And now it's mine.
Look, it's not too late. All right, you can help us stop that thing. I mean, it's already killed Dr. Carlton, Sierra, Biff.
Brock!
Don't blame any of this on me, please. I'm urchin' crazy. What's your excuse? Oh, I want to thank you, Doctor, for all your hard work. You're a good little worker bee. And a very sound investment. Keep the chick. She goes down easy. Oh, I'll be sure to send you a postcard from Libya when I'm done digging up your, shall I say, my treasure.
As the basilisk appears, Rudy drops the scepter. The basilisk grabs hold of Hannah's dress. It splits as she tries to get away, and she leaves half of it behind.
That was an original Versace, you son of a bitch!
The creature bites her in half.
Turn your head away! Don't open its eyes!
It sprays its venom over Harry, who retreats in a blaze of gunfire.
Come on, get to the lab! Get to the lab!
Blood and guts ooze from Hannah's remains.
Come on! There's an eyewash station in the lab!
Oh, I can't feel my arm.
Oh, come on.
Rudy takes Harry's gun.
Oh, my eyes.
They make their way into the lab. Rachel, clutching the eye of the Medusa, helps Harry to a basin. He rinses his blurring eyes with water. And Rachel gives him her blouse to dry his face.
How's your arm, huh?
It's getting really stiff.
Hearing the creature on the other side of the door, Rudy starts opening a gas faucet.
No, get out of here!
The basilisk pounds on the door.
Rudy, where are you going?
My God, don't worry about me, I'll be back!
Well, don't be stupid, come on!
Please!
I'll be back, get out of here!
The door begins to crumble as the basilisk breaks its way in. Rudy opens more gas faucets and pulls out his handgun as the door shatters. He shoots at some chemicals, which catch fire. The gas ignites in a massive fireball, flinging Rudy out of the lab into the university grounds.
Rudy! Rudy! Rudy, are you okay?
What?
Are you okay?
All I hear is ringing!
Rachel and Harry sigh with relief. Later, the emergency services arrive.
How are your eyes?
They're fine. It's a little blurry. The swelling's going down. I'm getting a feeling back in my hand. It's a little tingly, that's all. I'll be all right.
Thought you brought the roof down on that thing.
We did.
My men didn't find it. Not one scale, not one drop of blood. So any more brilliant ideas that don't include stealing my ride or blowing up a building?
Yeah. I got one. Now, I was trying to work out the whole Eclipse Diamond Scepter situation. It just sort of came to me. It was like one of those Eureka moments, you know? Where else can you see the same light and get the same sort of effect as during an eclipse?
Tell me.
Power plant. The nuclear power plant, to be precise. Specifically, the cooling tanks that hold the spent fuel rods at a nipply minus 45 degrees inside the reactor's containment vessels. And then, when the light hits the ancient bling bling, it'll do its whole reflection, refraction, thing, thing, and...
Sure this can work?
Doc, trust me. I did not spend the last 5 years at this university not getting laid to not be sure about something like this.
Colonel Douglas seems unamused.
So I guess all we need to do now is convince that thing to pay a visit to the nuclear plant.
We don't have to. We've got this.
Yeah.
The eye.
So who's the unlucky bastard who gets to go in there and use it on that thing?
I think the unlucky bastard should be the one that dug it out of the ground in the first place.
The next morning, Rudy walks past a mobile command post, parked at the edge of some woods. He finds Rachel, who's watching Harry being fitted into a yellow radiation suit. And Rudy takes a photo of him.
Rudy, come on, man, my eyes.
Doc, it's for the scrapbook, come on.
How's that feel?
It's a little heavy, my arm's still pretty numb.
Spotters located your snake down by the river. Looked like he's headed right this way.
Oh, God.
All right, is this thing really gonna work?
Absolutely. We use this apparatus all the time.
Yeah, but I bet you guys don't have to use one of these all the time, huh? Or watch by Geiger.
Best we could do on short notice.
Don't worry. We'll be able to see everything that you see. Just, well...
All right, I'm getting better. Eyes just a little blurry.
Yeah? How many fingers am I holding up?
Are you holding up fingers?
Kidding.
All right, look alive, you two. Our dinner guest just arrived.
As the basilisk snakes towards some cooling towers, soldiers ready their guns.
All right, listen up, gentlemen. Remember, avert your eyes and shoot to contain, not kill.
The basilisk arrives. Finding itself under fire, it heads through a doorway into the nuclear power plant. The soldiers quickly close the doors behind it and then put a beam across it to hold it fast. The creature pounds on the door. Rachel steps out of the mobile command post carrying the scepter.
Well, I guess that took care of phase one.
She hands the scepter to Harry, and he and Rudy hug with heartfelt emotion.
Just be careful.
I will.
You sure you want to do this?
I guess we'll find out.
I'll be watching.
Rachel touches Harry's face and looks emotional as he heads off with the scepter. Two vehicles make their way toward the nuclear power plant. One of them is bringing Harry. In the command post, Rachel is watching the feed from Harry's body cam as he walks through the plant.
All right, Harry, there's a corridor in front of you according to the floor plan that I'm looking at. You're gonna wanna head down that way.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
He collides with a metal pole.
Look, just keep looking, okay? Any sign of the basilisk?
No, not yet.
I can hear it. I'm heading towards it now.
Harry grips the scepter tightly.
All right. I've reached the cooling tanks.
Harry, the scepter.
The stone mounted on the scepter glows.
Go towards the tanks.
It glows with a pale light, similar to moonlight.
Oh, the light is beautiful.
Rachel, watching the video feed as Harry moves along a walkway above the cooling tanks, suddenly spots the basilisk descending from the ceiling.
Harry, look out! It's right above you!
It drops down onto the walkway in front of Harry. The light from the stone and the scepter makes the creature's eyes glow pale blue.
Harry is working and turning like a star.
The creature's massive body begins to petrify. Harry cautiously advances towards it, holding the scepter in front of him. The monster's eyes turn red again, and it knocks him backwards.
No!
He falls back against a control panel and accidentally activates a mechanical grabber suspended from the roof. As the basilisk advances, Harry operates the grabber controls and positions the grabber above the creature. The mechanical claws grab the giant snake and pick it up, and Harry drops it into one of the cooling tanks. As it hits the water, the creature shatters, and its body parts drift down to the bottom of the tank. Later, a military vehicle brings Harry back to the command post. Rudy jumps on the hood of the car in delight.
Yo!
Harry gets out, and they hug warmly.
Did you blow it up?
Did
you blow it up?
No, it's just a matter of physics. A little hot stone, a little ice cold water. Bye-bye, basilisk.
Yes, and in simple nuclear physics, hot stone plus irradiated coolant rods equals Chernobyl.
But...
Yeah. I sort of bluffed my way through that one.
Still, science beat magic. You must be proud. Although you might have to revise your opinions on magic and myths and legends now that you are one. I mean, you are the blind prophet that saved us all from the basilisk, right?
I don't know about that. I'm just a guy.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you're a guy who owes me a date. A real date.
Anybody up for a little treasure hunting?
Not really.
Some inscriptions on the eye of the Medusa glow with a blue light.
Well, it was nice to be rich for like 10 minutes.
At a camp in the Libyan desert, the Bedouins are cooking as their children play. Smoke rises slowly from a campfire in the center of the tented encampment. The leader of the Bedouins gets to his feet and walks across the campsite, seeing three riders approaching. It's Harry, Rudy, and Rachel, with Harry carrying the eye of the Medusa. Harry hands the scepter to the Bedouin leader and respectfully removes his hat.
My people, thank you for returning the Eye of Medusa to us. In the name of Allah, you're now one of the Order of the Sun.
Harry looks back at Rachel, who beams at him.
Well, it was our pleasure. Believe me.
They walk out of the camp.
Oh, cheer up, Rudy. It's all right, man. Hey, like the guy said, at least we're all right with the man upstairs now.
You realize that this scepter is just gonna be sitting in some museum, collecting dust, waiting for the next solar eclipse.
Which gives us 4 years to find the treasure before anybody else does.
Find it with what, Rachel?
Harry goes to one of the horses and fetches the map.
With this?
I've got a pretty good idea where to find this thing.
So, what do you say, partner?
The guys shake hands. The grateful Bedouins watch them leave.
Okay, partner. Now, what exactly does that mean in terms of shares? I mean, are we talking about a 33% split across the board? Or, I was thinking that maybe you two could pull together, split your half of the treasure, and then I could take 40%.
Rudy. Let's just worry about finding the treasure first, okay?
Right. Of course. Of course. But when we do find the treasure, I would be so happy with the 60-40 split.
Rudy!
Audio description written by John Walskill and recorded by Danny Schlesinger for Ayuno SDI Group. Cast: Harry, Jeremy London. Rachel, Wendy Carter. Colonel Douglas, Cleveland Derricks. Rudy, Griff First. Sierra, Sarah Skeeters. Carlton, Stephen First. Hannah, Yancey Butler. Brock, Doug Dirth. Captain Hinckley, James Graves. Sims, Atana Srebrev. Bedouin leader, Bashar Rahal. Elder Berber, Jalko Rozic. Berber 1, Martin Gworov. Berber 2, Velislav Pavlov. Chubby Guy, Daniel Gibson. Gangly Guy, Constantine Bonet. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2006 Remnant Productions, LLC.